This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 21. We're going to recap the SharePoint Conference 2014. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is episode 21, and we were going to talk about the SharePoint conference. So I see, before we get stuck into that, how's your recovery going?
Oh, man. Well, I sound better than I guess you sound. You sound you got a bit of head cold going there, but I had a fun time. I guess anybody that I ran into saw that I was walking with a pretty good limp. My leg had been bothering me and complained about it a little bit, and actually found out yesterday that appears that I'm going to be overdramatic. It appears I was walking around all last week at a conference in Vegas on a broken leg. So I apparently have
I apparently have
a stress fracture in my femur, and it's sounds a lot worse than it feels. But yeah, so I'm trying to do the dance of getting in to get an MRI, and then I'm really hoping to avoid any kind of major stuff. They say the really bad ones you have to have surgery, but I doubt that I'm gonna have to do that. And then the best recovery is no load bearing stuff. So you know what that means.
Bed rest.
Well, I wish it was bed rest and I could sit there and get out of doing everything, but it means potentially multiple weeks on crutches.
Ouchies. So you went skiing on this broken leg of yours, didn't you?
I went out to go skiing. What I did was definitely not skiing, but I sure tried.
A controlled fall down a hill, I like to say.
Yeah. Yes, I slid. I slid down the hill a bit, and then I would fall on my non-injured side. So I got a nice good scolding from my doctor yesterday saying, you should have a broken leg, a fully broken femur right now with what I tried to do.
Oh, I'm glad it didn't come to that. That's for sure.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first person to probably break a leg in Vegas, though.
No, more than likely. So when somebody said to you before your sessions, break a leg, you were like, oh, all right.
So I got that taken care of. How about you? Dear. How are you doing on the post-Vegas craziness?
Oh, it's been pretty busy. I posted on Facebook, which only obviously my friends on Facebook would have seen, but I said I'm suffering from what I'm calling Vegas nose, which sounds a lot more ominous potentially than it is. But what I really meant was, you go to Vegas and at these conferences, you spend so much time indoors and in those conference centers, and I love spending time with AC, don't get me wrong, but not the aircon variety. Or the Andrew Connell variety. I think you dry out so much in that air conditioning that you end up, contracting, bugs from things. So I'm coming down with a cold, I think, is what I'm trying to get at. But yeah, I got back on Friday and right back into it. So it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, crazy stuff, but the joys of getting of a post crazy conference. It was definitely a good time.
I think probably of all of the SharePoint conferences I've been to, my two favorite were SPC 09, which was the first one I worked on, and I didn't get to see much of the conference, but I had such a blast. And then this one, I think, were my two favorite ones.
I agree. They did a really good job with this one. And I mean, we tried, for everybody that was following what we did last week, we did make an attempt to try and do daily recaps of the conference, and cards on the table. I don't think we did a very good job. We probably should have scheduled time and trying to just say, instead of just saying, let's just find time and go find a corner and go record. We'd sit there and think what we found was a quiet corner. Next thing, there was a cleaning crew in there, slamming dishes around and stuff. But
it didn't work out quite as we'd planned. But we hope people got a little bit out of last week's recordings that we put up.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Anyway, speaking of people listening, I met a number of Cloud Show listeners at the SharePoint conference last week. A few people that I didn't know came up and said, hey, great job on the Cloud Show, which was just, I thought was just awesome. I was sort of stunned. I really didn't know what to say. It was, you know, the first time I'd properly met listeners that I didn't already know. And it was just really good feedback. I just thought it was like, it was really nice to meet somebody that, or meet a couple of different people that that listened to the show and appreciated it. So thank you to those folks who came up and dropped some comments and live and in person. I was surprised they knew what it looked like.
I couldn't say it better myself. I had the exact same experience, probably handful of, like, you know, 5 to 10 people that would come up and they'd say that they loved the show. It was one of their favorite shows. And I guess in one sense, I was surprised because, you know, we're sitting here, we talk to each other and we kind of broadcast it. And I see the numbers that say we got, you know, over 1,000 people are downloading, 1,500 people are downloading the show, every show. But it's still, when you actually meet somebody that says they're enjoying the show and stuff, it's, you know, part is, well, we got you fooled. But the other part is, it's really cool to do that. So it was very, really appreciate those of you who did come up and that did say something. And it's not like we were thinking about quitting or anything, but it definitely gives us
it's motivating.
It definitely gives you more motivation to do it. So we really appreciate it. And sorry we dropped the ball last week, but that's why we're doing this show. That's why we're doing this episode, to do a little bit of a recap on the show. So we'll try and get this one out really quick. So
nice. So those were the in-person reviews, but we also... I heard or saw that we have another iTunes 5-star review. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yep, you popped up iTunes, and just out of curiosity, to see like what our ratings looked like. And I saw a 5-star review here. Actually, I saw two, but I believe that one of them is from our a former guest on the show. The name doesn't match up, but he makes a comment to it. So, not, of course, a guest is probably going to give us a good rating. So we definitely appreciate it. But another one was by Tom Riesing, who says it's his only podcast. It's been a long time since I listened to a podcast. There was a time when I listened to some frequently, but I haven't in the past few years. The Microsoft Cloud Show may get me back on the habit. Oh, well, I don't want you just listening on the podcast habit. Let's hope there's not another habit that we're helping you get on. CJ is complaining about his Vegas nose, but that's, you know. All right, Andrew and Chris, besides being two of the nicest people I know, are very smart and great communicators. The show is slanted towards Microsoft, but that should be obvious from the title. There is more SharePoint in the show than you might expect from the title, but I actually like that, as I specialize in SharePoint too. There's a lot of news in this space. The show can help you keep up with a no-nonsense, to-the-point summary of recent happenings. So, 5-star review. And that kind of builds on the fact that we've now got almost double-digit reviews or ratings. We got 8 5-star and 1 1-star. Or sorry, 1 1-4-star. Sorry.
So. Excellent. Yeah, that's really great. Thanks. Thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it. So why don't we jump into the content of the show here? Let's do the talk a little bit about when we did some of the reviews last week. We talked very briefly about some of the stuff that I guess we did, but about some of the sessions that we attended. But some people kind of gave us a few complaints, saying they wish they would have gotten a little more meat from the sessions we did.
Yeah, that sounds good. Why don't we recap the sessions that we saw or attended and talk a little bit about those and take it from there.
You want to share the dirty little secret about people like us that are getting – that do a little more presenting at a conference?
Yeah.
So here's the bad part of it.
Yeah, so the bad part of that is, if you're presenting at a conference and you're anything like AC and I, you generally don't go to any sessions. And, well, maybe not any, maybe just a few, because usually you're working on, you know, your presentations, you've got other duties, you've got meetings, side meetings and so forth with various people and folks, and because these conferences are typically where a whole bunch of the community come together. And so for me, at least, and I imagine you're the same, AC, you know, I presented on Wednesday, and Monday and Tuesday were busy with meetings and session prep. And then I did get to see some sessions during that time, but just not very many. So the good thing happens to be that the SharePoint conference recordings went up on Channel 9 So if you go up to, we'll link off to this in the show notes, but channel9.msdn.com/events/SharePoint-conference/2014. So again, we'll link up to that in the show notes, but that's where all of the recordings of all the sessions are. And so go check out the sessions that you couldn't get to. And I certainly intend on doing that. I always end up with a list of sessions I want to watch the recordings of, far longer than I can ever consume. But there's definitely some important ones I want to go take a look at there. Now, having said that, we did get to some sessions. So why don't you talk about the ones that you did end up getting to, AC?
Sure. I guess I was able to attend, I would say, 1.25 session. So the one full session that I attended was by Matt Bremer. It was using TypeScript inside of SharePoint hosted apps. I did touch on this in one of the recaps that we did last week, but essentially, you know, for those who don't know what TypeScript is, it's a superset of JavaScript that Microsoft has invented that effectively gives you more ability to do like large scale JavaScript applications. It gives you things like type checking and a couple other things that will make your life a little bit better when you're building large scale JavaScript apps. I'm a big fan of it. I really like the way that Microsoft is going with it. I really like what it does is that it compiles down to JavaScript. And so what that means is that it's very similar to ASPX or to, like, say, C Sharp or VB, where you don't traditionally deploy your code files. You deploy the generated stuff. So you don't deploy your TypeScript files. You deploy the JavaScript stuff. So you don't have to have a special plugin or anything to use this. Matt did a really good job in his session showing how it worked. I really liked his style too. What he first goes in and right away kind of dives into a demo and shows it working, and then immediately backs out and starts explaining what it is and going through the best pieces of it and picking apart different things and why he likes it and stuff like that. So I thought it was a really good session to really give you up to speed for those of you who are doing TypeScript or doing JavaScript type stuff in your SharePoint apps or getting into it. And then, but if you have a more traditional server side background and you struggle with things with JavaScript, I like how TypeScript is a good transition to get into. So
I love the idea of this.
Yeah.
I love the concept. I haven't looked at it, but I love the idea that this might make me a JavaScript programmer.
You will soon, because we're going to use it. We're using it in our Curb, in the startup that we're doing, Curb.
Right. Right. Well, I love being able to hit Control Shift B and compile, and if it can help me with that, then I'm all on board.
Yeah, I mean, the type checking is a big thing. If we go through and I'm doing a project right now, or a course I'm doing right now for Pluralsight, has a lot of JavaScript in it, and there was one thing where I was testing for undefined, and one of the things when it came back, I was running the response through that I got from the service. Through a function, the function was returned a string, and it was returning the string undefined and not the reference undefined. So had I had something like TypeScript and I can actually do real type checking, then it was going to allow, or not, I wasn't doing type checking, let the compiler do the type checking for me. It would have figured out that, hey, you're trying to compare a string to like an equality statement or something like that. So you can't, and it would have caught that, you know, at code time, and we've got a nice little red squiggly in Visual Studio. So I thought it was a great session. So I'm definitely going to, now that we see the recordings are available, I'm looking forward to grabbing it and going and downloading some stuff too, because it was very entertaining too. I thought that Matt did a great job. The other session that I went to that I'd say I watched the last quarter of it was the proverbial forms session, or the InfoPath session. And I caught the last like 20 minutes of it. Is by Sonia Koptev and Greg Lizhorst, yes. And the whole idea was kind of explaining what the story was with forms, where they're going with it and stuff, and the story about InfoPath. I got there for the Q&A part. I was very curious to see if they were going to have like a lynch mob at the microphone, or if they were going to have people really interested. And it seemed like they did a really good job of just doing the Q&A and not having a big battle or any of that kind of stuff going on. So I missed the first part of that session, primarily because I was stuck in a a dry run for another session that I was presenting, and was able to come into the very end of Sonia's session. So,
yeah, no, definitely. That is obviously very topical. A lot of people are talking about it. And I think, you know, what we saw in that session, and if you haven't didn't see it, go get the recording and take a look at it, because it might give you some context on what Sonia was talking about in that interview. But obviously, really, I've seen a couple of good comments about the session and how open and so forth it was. So I think, you know, that was it obviously resonated with people.
Definitely. How about you? How about sessions you go to?
Yeah, I went to the keynote, obviously, on Monday morning. I spoke a little bit about that. I went to the developer audience keynote as well, and that was on Monday morning. So on Monday morning, I saw the developer audience keynote as well. And we talked about that in one of the other episodes, so I'm not going to go into a great level of detail on that other than to say check out the recording if you want sort of the full overview of the various announcements that were made around sort of improvements or topics of interest for developers. Things like the Android SDK, more APIs coming out in the API preview, that sort of stuff for Office 365. Then the next day, I was pretty much flat out on session prep for my sessions. However, I did see a session at the end of the day. Maybe you know a little bit about this one, AC, but this was your one. Well, one that you were in, I should say, along with a number of other people. So this one was called Building a Modern Portal in 75 Minutes. And you know, this session that you sort of co-host, is that the right word? Co-host with Dan Kogan from the product group,
mm-hmm.
Is always one, at least for me, not to miss. It was absolutely hilarious and great fun. Now, the interesting thing was that it's, you know, there's so much going on in that session that that it's hard to learn a lot. And by that I mean, like, you're not deep diving into any one particular piece of technology, right? You've got five people on stage, I think it was. Was mm-hmm. it five?
Yeah, we had
five or six.
Yeah, five of us, yeah.
Five of you on stage, and you're all building, well, certain people you were kind of hosting and emceeing and coordinating. Mm. But you had, you know, all these people building pieces of this portal and pulling it all together in 75 minutes. And I thought it was done very well. It was kind of... Dan was kind of being the old stickler in the mud, like Waldorf and Statler and the Muppets. and he was being the guy that thought the old portal from 10 or 15 years ago, whenever it was just enough for everybody. And you guys were kind of arguing with him and pulling together a more modern portal. And I thought it worked really well. I know the session style is not for everybody. I enjoy the sessions that are kind of a little more, you know, crazy and humorous and bring a bit of fun to the whole thing. So I didn't mind it at all. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, we had a good time. It was, you know, when you look at the comments, it was very polarizing. Some hated it, some loved it. And it's a fun session. Like you said, the idea is that you're not supposed to do any kind of, you're not supposed to learn anything from the session other than we're pulling it all together. So, like, you're supposed to go learn stuff from other sessions and then come here and see how does all this kind of work in one big story or whatever. So it was a lot of work. It was hard to kind of, you know, coordinate. It was funny how some people were like, God, you guys should really rehearse it. And it's like, it's funny because we did and it was planned out. So if anything, we almost scripted it a bit too much. But it was a lot of work. We had a lot of fun. It was supposed to be a big party and a good time. But, you know, it's like you said, session's not for everybody, but hopefully everybody got something out of it. I'm not so sure we're going to be doing that one again, but I guess we'll just have to see. So,
yeah, yeah. So on Wednesday, the only sessions I went to were mine.
And I missed yours because I was stuck in meetings too.
So I did one in the morning called Developing Socially Connected Apps with Yammer, SharePoint, and Office 365, and OpenGraph.
Mm-hmm.
So that that was early in the morning at 9 a.m. So that was right after the attendee party the following evening. So I was surprised anybody actually showed up, to be honest. I wasn't expecting a great turnout because of that. But we had a reasonable turnout. So all things considered, it went really well. And then the rest of the day was some session prep before session I did at 3:15 called Mobilize Your Workforce, Publish SharePoint to Your Users Beyond the Firewall with Windows Server 2012 R2 Web Application Proxy.
Mouthful, huh?
Yeah. Yep. And so that was the afternoon session. That was all about basically the web application proxy is a new tool in the Windows Server arsenal to help reverse proxy certain bits of your SharePoint environment out to the world. So I showed how to, you know, the basics of how to set that up and do that. And then also I talked a lot about this new technology called Workplace Join, which is, you know, how when you go to a website and you authenticate and you type in your username and password, that's sort of user authentication. Whereas Workplace Join is about device authentication. So being able to say, hey, AC, you're outside of the office. You're not allowed to hit our internal SharePoint sites that have been reverse proxied unless you enter your username and password, obviously, plus you have a device that's already been registered with the organization through Workplace Join. So that's not particularly cloudy, other than the fact that you know, it gets your users out of the office and roaming in a mobile fashion, even if you have some SharePoint on-prem stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess the session title that proves that there is no character length limit on the sessions, huh?
Yeah, Invarchar 5000. There you go.
Yeah. You mentioned that you had the two sessions. The one the morning after the party. I did not make it out to the party. The line was a bit too long. I was starving, and I decided to eat. Next thing I knew, it was like I let gambling get away from me. I let the race get away from me due to blackjack.
Gotcha.
You went out there that night too, right? You had a good time?
Yeah. Well, I think you know I had a good time. Mm. I was texting you and sending you images of what I was up to the whole evening. And no, it was awesome. I got to hang out at the party for a while, had some food, obviously, and then jumped in one of the cars and went for a burn around the track.
Not just a car.
Well, no, the first time around it was just a car. I think it was a Chrysler something or other. It was a Mercedes. And I was just interested in going for a look at the track. I mean, that place, it was at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And that place is gigantic. Like, it never really occurred to me how big it was. And when they said, oh, the party's on the infield, you know, I was like, okay, so they've got the whole sort of oval of the infield. No, it was like a quarter of the infield was used by the party. The other three quarters was taken up with, you know, the teams for NASCAR that were coming in that weekend. They were already starting to pack in. And also like a whole load of RVs. So it was fascinating going for a drive around the track. And then later that night, I was lucky enough to get a chance to get to go around it again, except at slightly faster pace, in a Ferrari 430 Challenge Series car, which for those motorsport enthusiasts amongst us will know what that is. But that was kind of a race. It's a race-specced Ferrari that is built for racing, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously roll cage and fire extinguishers and just none of the comfort things. It's just stripped down and ready to go. Yeah. And so that was about, we did about 230 kilometers an hour, I think, which is roughly about 150 miles an hour, something like that. And so if we have any people from Germany listening in, they'll be like, that's slow. The Autobahn's way faster than that. But for us that are stuck on roads that have a 60 or 70 mile an hour limit, 150 kind of feels a bit quick.
I was very jealous.
I had a blast. It was great fun. You couldn't wipe the stupid smile off my face for hours. Oh yeah, and I got to meet Danica Patrick as well. And at some point, I'll post my photo up on the blog of that. But she's tiny. She is tiny. Like, you never have an appreciation for how small she is until you stand up next to her, and she's. You would have absolutely dwarfed her. I reckon, AC, you're probably twice as high as she is. But I got to say, there's something about female racing drivers that was pretty pretty exciting.
She's great. There's something appealing about that, but yeah, we're going to keep the show clean.
Exactly. No, she was very friendly, very nice, and it was a pleasure to meet her. So all in all, I had a great evening, and then had to scurry back to the hotel and get some beauty sleep for the session the next morning.
Yeah, I'm getting a text from you. I remember you saying that you planned on being back in bed by like 11 or 12 that night. And I remember getting a text from you at 11:57 local time with a picture of a 4:30. I'm like, yeah, you ain't going to make it, you old jerk.
Yeah. It was quite a long way away, and it was I'm sure some people didn't go there because of that. So anyway, so that was the party. Any other sessions you want to talk about, or should we move on?
The only thing I wanted to mention here is we did do another interview, and it kind of ties in with a theme that we had at the conference. The two things I wanted to mention were, one of the themes that we saw was a lot of focus around doing client-side dev. So HTML5, JavaScript libraries. Jeremy Thake did a session on Angular. Scott Hillier did a pair of sessions on HTML5 and JavaScript libraries and all of that kind of stuff. And then we also saw that Scott did a pre-conference show. I like – Scott and I talked a little bit about this. I guess you and I talked to Scott a little bit about this. We did an interview with him, and I think we kind of rehashed a bit of what I wanted to say. So let me just go ahead and just play this interview real quick with Scott, because it'll express kind of what my thinking is on this whole topic. Okay, we're here. CJ and I are here on Wednesday, the SharePoint conference. We're here with Scott Hillier, just catching up with him, seeing what he's been up to. So, Scott, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Scott Hillier. I'm a SharePoint MVP. I'm a guy who spends pretty much all day writing code inside of SharePoint. Been doing that for the last decade or so. I'm doing a couple sessions here at the conference and also attending some sessions.
Oh, very cool. How can people find you? Like blog, Twitter? How's the best way to find you just to follow up with you?
Yeah, so my Twitter is at Scott Hillier. You spell Scott with one T. You spell Hillier with two L's and two I's, and you can find me that way. My blog is at shillier.com, and my email is scott@scotthillier.net. So any of those ways are good ways to find me.
Fantastic. Now, what sessions did you do? You doing some stuff, any specific topic, like kind of a theme across all of them, or how many sessions, or just tell us what you're doing at the conference this week.
Yeah, so my sort of mini theme for the conference that I carried across my sessions, I did three sessions, and really what I thought about those was sort of providing information about all the related technologies to SharePoint that somebody needs to know to be successful when writing a SharePoint app. So there's lots and lots of discussion about the app model itself, which tends to center around plumbing and whether or not I can use JavaScript or server code or what have you. But there are all kinds of related technologies. So we spent our time talking about HTML5, CSS, Angular, Breeze, Knockout, and just finished up a session right now on making your own REST service with Web API. So it's really been everything else around SharePoint that you need to be successful.
Oh, very cool. So you also had a session, one of the sessions yesterday was what, about like a bunch of the third-party libraries and stuff? Do you mean like third-party JavaScript libraries? Is that what you're talking about?
Right. So if you buy into the idea that development is moving more towards client over HTTP, then it becomes very important how you write that client, and more of that's going to have to be in JavaScript. So rather than sit down and try to do everything from scratch, in order to do things in an organized way, you want to take advantage of frameworks and libraries that are available out there. So we had a whole session on the various frameworks and libraries that are out there and ones that you were special and you should probably focus on and be very helpful to SharePoint devs.
Yeah, you and I talked about this a little bit, maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, about kind of what we're seeing in the marketplace and being more on the client side, kind of a dev stuff. How much of the work that you're doing today is it, would you call the SharePoint work the traditional SharePoint work, where it was solution-based or server-side based? and how much of these are you seeing is more on the client-focused stuff that you're talking about this week?
Right. So I think it's interesting that still today, the majority of my clients are still in 2010. I think this is the year when I'm starting to see them really feel like they need to begin to make a move. But even though they're in 2010, one significant thing that's happened is that people are rapidly moving away from the server model anyway. And so we're doing much more development that involves things like using JavaScript within the solution to go against maybe listdata.svc and maybe to use some jQuery or other third-party libraries and get away from the server-side code as much as possible just in preparation for being able to move to 2013. So I'm expecting over the next year to actually see some of these clients start to move. And in many cases, we're well positioned because we've used more client-side code than we have server-side code, so less to do to migrate.
Are you seeing, I totally agree with you on that. Are you seeing more people, like of the SharePoint crowd, you seeing that these things that you're talking about this week, about HTML5, the different JavaScript libraries out there, working more on the client, are you seeing this being more of a new topic to them, or are you seeing this being something that they're adopting? You see they're more kind of like going in with like, you know, being a little timid and stuff. How are you seeing people accepting this, like the messages that you had at your sessions?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, unless you're living under a rock, everybody knows that we're moving from server to client, right? That message has penetrated the community. You have to move from server to client. The problem is that the difference between server and client is more than just I don't write C#, I write JavaScript kind of thing, right? There's a huge number of stepping stones in between those two things. So while people generally get the idea, they're overwhelmed with all these other technologies and where they fit and what, you know, how do I actually move my skill set from a very specific SharePoint platform where I knew all these secret things like CAML and document libraries or 101 to something that's much more generic. And so what I'm seeing with the message that we're providing this week is that people are really appreciating that they can put things in place now. So they may, you know, you may not exit the SharePoint conference an expert in how to write JavaScript, but what you want is the vision of how to get from where you are to where you want to be. And so I'm finding that people are very excited about it. And in fact, I would even argue that, you know, some of the resistance that we'll talk about in the community in the app model is not necessarily based on the app model, but it's based on people not really seeing how to get there. And then once you kind of show them and you fill in the gaps for them a little bit, they get excited because as programmers, we get excited for new stuff, right? You sit down and write another web part. Now, you know, now I get to learn Angular and now I get to learn Breeze and I get to do things that are cool and fun again. And so I'm actually seeing an increase in the level of enthusiasm once you, you know, help them see the vision of how to get from where they are to where they should be.
That's really good to hear that people are actually having a good response to this. They're actually interested in doing this. For the people who are looking at this and they're saying, okay, I buy into it. Where do I go from here? Because it's not, you know, I guess one of my takes on this is that, you know, Microsoft has been talking about this. I think you and I have talked about this before where they say, you know, this is the new message of where we want people to go. But the problem is that they're talking to the people that of here are the tools you can use to build apps and stuff, but they're talking to the wrong audience. That message really should be going to the people who are not SharePoint developers today and saying you can do that in SharePoint. And then the SharePoint developers is, look, this client side kind of stuff, it isn't new. It may be new to you, but it's not new to SharePoint. It's not new to the rest of the industry. So you're trying to get up to speed here. You guys are used to going to MSDN. You're used to going to places like TechNet to go get your documentation. Where are they supposed to go today? Where do you tell them the best places to kind of get resources and what's your like call to action after they walk out of your session to figure out, you know, where do I go next?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting what you just said when you're talking about these two groups, right? So one group is SharePoint developers that have traditionally done server-side stuff. And the other group is web developers that understand a lot of these new technologies but haven't done anything with SharePoint. And if you take those two sets, unfortunately, the overlap is very small, right? So trying to take a group that knows web development and move them to SharePoint is really just as difficult as trying to take a group that knows SharePoint development and move them to web development. So there's a huge opportunity in the middle. And the problem is we don't really have, in my opinion, enough educational resources going on. So I could go to Pluralsight and I can watch videos on Angular, but they're not targeted at SharePoint, helping me understand how the app model fits into that. And I can go to Pluralsight and I can watch videos on the app model, but they don't really include anything on Angular. So there's still this compartmentalization that's going on, and nobody's really in the middle helping those two groups come together. And the success of the app model, and really, I think, the entire movement from on-prem to cloud, relies heavily on being able to bridge that middle part and get both groups excited, because now all of a sudden what you've done is greatly increased the number of people who can be productive in the SharePoint world and made it exciting to do that move. And I mean, this is a message that I've been given to anybody at Microsoft who will listen to me, is that there needs to be more effort to help people bridge that gap from both groups. So when people ask me about what materials are available, you know, they'll ask me about books that are out there, but most of those books talk about the app model, and they don't talk about these other technologies. So the nice thing is about the ability to put courses up on Pluralsight is that they can respond a little bit quicker. So I know that you're working on a course on Pluralsight that's going to help fill that gap a little bit. And we've also been putting together a course at Critical Path for app developers that also fills that gap.
Yep.
So truthfully, I don't really know of any resources besides the resources you're working on that bridge that gap and the resources that we're working on at Critical Path to put together classroom training that are specifically targeting the middle between those two groups, the cloud developers and the former, you know, server-side developers.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to draw to bridge that gap with people trying to understand those things. It's kind of like, yeah, you can do all this stuff over here, and then you can do all this stuff over here. But then, how do I do the kind of linking between the two pieces here? So, I appreciate the plug. I didn't ask you to do that, but I appreciate the plug. So, give it a few more weeks, and hopefully, it'll be out there.
Yep. Yep. So. Hey, so did you end up doing a pre or post con? I thought I saw on the bullet in there. Somewhere.
Yeah. So I, in addition to the three sessions I did this week, it's been pretty busy. Yeah. I did a pre-con on Sunday, which was entitled Cloud App Developer Critical Skills Jumpstart. So the idea behind that was to take people in a room for, you know, the whole day and basically go over every single one of these. So we began that seminar with don't write JavaScript functions in the global namespace. And we ended with simple web token security against web API. And that's, so we did everything in a day. Now, obviously, you're not going to expect people to retain a lot of that. But again, with the critical thing is having the pieces in place so you can see those dots and draw the line. And then you know what it is you have to learn and go off and learn it.
So we also talked about, when AC and I spoke yesterday, about some of the highlights from the keynote and things like that. What sort of stuff stuck out for you, and what do you think the most interesting and exciting piece was that you saw?
Yeah, so for me, in just being really focused on the ideas that we've been talking about, the most exciting thing are more RESTful endpoints. So the more of these RESTful endpoints that get exposed, the better it is for us as developers, because it makes that model more and more powerful. So if they're going to give us calendars, if they're going to give us documents, if they're going to get access to different resources in Office 365 that we didn't have, that stuff is really, I think, powerful. And then just as a secondary thing, I was super impressed with the Oslo interface. Just on a completely different note, I've spent a tremendous amount of time in SharePoint Search, and we've been building search-based navigations for SharePoint for a while now to get, you know, when you have very complex SharePoint environments with lots of sites, it's impossible to have a traditional tree-based navigation. So we've been doing search-based navigation, but to see the richness that they now have in Oslo that sits on top of that and provides that search-based navigation, I thought was pretty exciting.
Yeah,
big
takeaway. I thought the discovery of services in the cloud as well was pretty cool, about getting, you know, taking somebody's email address and finding out, you know, where their services reside on the net, like whether it be an Exchange mailbox or a SharePoint site or something like that, and how it tied up with those, you know, APIs. I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that stuff is all, those are all things to be pretty excited about.
Very cool. Well, Scott, thanks for taking a few minutes to sit down and talk to us, or stand up and talk to us over here in the corner. And hope you enjoy the rest of the show, and we'll catch up again sometime soon.
Yeah,
we'll do.
So
thanks, guys.
You know, that was Scott Hillier. Got some information about how you can connect with Scott, and I'd highly recommend you go check out his sessions. I will say that there was one other theme that was pretty evident throughout the conference from Microsoft, and that's and it's something we're going to get into in the next episode. But in the past, I know I've been very critical. You have too, but I've been a little bit more combative with Microsoft about issues around 365 and the app model and just how they approached. I've been approaching things. I was very, very impressed by what I can only describe as a re-engagement with customers, the community, influencers, really having a lot of good. It was obvious they've been listening to feedback. It's obvious they've been acting on feedback. Everything from InfoPath to APIs and form story and development story and everything. I walked away feeling very refreshed, felt not like Microsoft of the last few years. It very much felt like Microsoft from about 4 or 5 years ago, I would say. So I'm very much looking forward to the next few years and having a much more constructive conversation around what they're up to these days.
Yeah, I think I've noticed there's been a few comments, you know, not just from yourself, but you know, Mark Anderson that we interviewed a few episodes back, and he put a blog post out that we'll link to up in the show notes as well, about a wrap up from SPC 14, and it's great to see that there has been at least some other folks notice that as well. I think it's a theme that obviously would be awesome if it continued, and may let it, you know, I hope it lives a long, long, fruitful life. Because I definitely agree. I think it's been lagging the last wee while, and it was great to see some other folks, you know, say the same thing that was what they took away from it as well. So hopefully we'll see more on that, and if I've got anything to do with it, we certainly will.
Speaking of that, I think that now's about time we wrap this episode up and we dive into the next episode, because we're going to go build off on that just a little bit of some other changes. So anything else you want to wrap up with before we move on?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I think for anybody that attended SPC, I hope everybody had a great time. I certainly did. I love those conferences. I think it's such a great place to re-engage with all your friends and other people in the community and stuff. So I had an absolute blast.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.